Bags down, spikes on. Welcome to the track. Hi, my name is Colin Waitzman, and I'm going to be your host for this episode of Track World News, presented by Track Barn. And today we have a very special guest joining us, decathlete. We have Jack Flood, D3 heptathlon and decathlon national champion. He has 9.2 million likes on TikTok. That is more than the entire state of New Jersey. So Flood has a huge name going throughout it. The CPD king, as he crowns himself. Jack, thanks for coming on the show. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Colin, man. I'm hyped up. And whoever's listening to this, make sure you tune in and focus. This is going to be a good one.
Before we go any further, I want to give a huge shout out to the sponsor of today's video, Manscaped. As track athletes, we're going to be running tons of miles every week and can be really sweaty and gross after a hard day of practice, but those days are behind us. Manscaped just sent me their brand new performance package, which comes with the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, Crop Reviver Toner, Performance Boxer Briefs, and a travel bag to hold all your goodies. Look, I've tried a lot of razors in my day, but the Lawnmower 4.0 is just different. Its ceramic blade helps reduce grooming accidents, LED light allows you to shave anytime, anywhere, and since it's waterproof, you can even take it in the shower if you want. When shopping with Manscaped, use code TWN at checkout to get 20% off your entire order, plus free shipping worldwide. Show up to your next meet looking good. If you want to be the best, you got to look the best. Link is in the description. And now back to the video.
For sure. And definitely going to be excited to do this one. And I saw we were doing the intro when we said you got 9.2 million. That's the entire state of Jersey. You're like, wow. Like, what is that? Yeah. What's it like thinking like, oh man, you're the 10th ranked. You would be the 10th ranked state if all of your the people that liked it was a state population. You're the 10th most ranked state.
Yeah, that's interesting because I never really look at the likes. I look at like the followers basically. But then it's like, holy cow, that's a lot of people that see this. And the more I like, for example, I went to the Canes game in Raleigh the other day, like at least like 15 people came up to me and was like, yo, Jack Flood from TikTok. And it's like, to me, it's mind blowing because they don't know me through track. It's like through this like TikTok. It's like, come on. But that's like the whole goal of the TikTok is like, you can get so much views of audience and then they go, oh, this guy does track. And that's how you bring people to the sport. And that's the power of social media nowadays. So that's what we as track athletes got to start doing is like posting content. You know, everything can be content, and it's needed for the sport. More people need to tune in.
Yeah, it's definitely something that has been growing a lot recently, and we'll get all into your social media, your following, what you've been doing with Chipotle and CPD. We'll get into all of that in a moment. Yeah. Here, first want to start off where your journey of track and field began for you. Like, what got you interested in track and field and wanting to actually compete in the sport that you're doing as a job today?
Yeah, that's a good question. So my freshman year of high school, I decided to do spring track because I knew if I get faster, I'd be better at football. I was a football guy. I loved football. But my older brother did track and he was like a really good athlete. He was a junior. I was a freshman and everyone called me like his shadow because he was so good. And I was just like, I was a scrub to be honest. I was terrible. I was running like 89 seconds in the 400 hurdles. I was running 70 seconds in the 400. Like I was really bad. And then but my first invitational track meet, it was just like the most fun I've ever had on a weekend. And I was like, this is what I want to do on my weekends. It was just like hit me like this is what I love to do. And then I started taking the sport more seriously and getting better every year and living up to my older brother who was like very fast and very good. And then he got injured and he was basically done. He tore his ACL and then he had a bunch of hip bone like pop or something, like a hip avulsion or something, and then he was out.
Something painful.
So it was like, it was almost like I had this responsibility, like, to take his place. So I was, that was my, like, high school mentality of, like, the story I was telling myself. And then eventually I started picking up the high jump my junior year. And because I was always a runner, I jumped like 5'6" my first meet. And that was like a big jump at the time, I guess, whatever. And so I just kept doing it. And that was like the mark. It was like, all right, I'm actually decent at something. And it just built momentum. I started getting better at the long jump. I learned the shot put, even the hurdles. I ran like 21 seconds my freshman year in the 110s. And then by senior year, I was at like 16, but then I just had this momentum. I ran like 14.7, and that was like a huge race for me. And that was just like, those are just like key memories I'm thinking back, because that was almost, that was over 12 years ago, you know? It's like, holy cow. I got into this 12 years ago. But yeah, I was just lucky my freshman year to knew this is what I want to do. Like the love was so strong that I'm literally still doing it today.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that in a few, by the time you're getting ready for the Olympics, like in that 2024, 2025 time, there are going to be people that are probably weren't even born yet when you started running track. So
yeah, that is true. Wow.
Yeah. So get ready to start competing against those, the people that aren't even born yet or whatever in track, which has got to be the weirdest thing. But you started doing that, and then how did you eventually get into to SUNY, and then, you know, continue transfer and, you know, become a national great? Because like you mentioned, it's like, hey, your times were pretty solid, and then you get to being a national champion just a few years later. Like what goes on in between those two times for you?
Yeah, so basically my senior year, New York State is one of the only states that has pentathlon, and that's why I started like throwing shot. So I did the pentathlon my senior year, my outdoor. And before that, I wasn't very good at anything, as in like 400 or anything individual, basically. But then I ended up being the state champion in the pentathlon my senior year of high school. But I was like, during my senior year, I was like very insecure, because I was like, can I even be on a college team? I'm not good enough. You know, that's the thoughts I had in my head. So I never really pursued college. There was nothing like, I had that much doubt in myself. I was like, there's no reason to, you know? And I didn't know what I wanted to do afterwards as in my major. But then it was end of May. My coach was like, because I was starting to get really good, I was like number one in the state before the state. He's like, what are you doing? Like, you have to do this after high school. And we looked everywhere. We found this place, SUNY Delhi Junior College. Luckily, they accepted me like literally in June. And just blind luck, I just went there. I didn't even visit the campus. And now that's what I'm doing. I'm going to school and I'm training for the decathlon, where I learned the discus, javelin, pole vault. I never ran a 100-meter dash before, but it was just like, it was almost like I was guided to do that. You know, I was so stupid at the time, but it was just like, this is my path to like what's bigger than me. Like, this is it. I don't know. Like, I'm very like in tune and very with God. And like, my prayer life, I've always prayed throughout my entire time, and he's just like guiding me every step of the way, and I just followed, you know. So yeah, so then I went to Delhi, and then I transferred 2 years later to Cortland, and I knew Cortland had way better facilities, bigger team, more team camaraderie, an indoor facility actually, which is like huge, because in upstate New York it snows till like April, so I can actually train in like a nice environment and go to like different meets. So like every year you just like, all right, so there's a point calculator in the multis. Like, even when I scored 5,700 my first time, every time I would do the calculator, I was scoring like 7,000. Like, I wasn't even near there, but that's where I saw myself being. And, you know, I wouldn't do it, but I was always like, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. I probably have screenshots from like 2014, 13 of like ridiculous scores, even though I wasn't even near there. But it was just like, it's not where you are. It's like where you're going. It's like, are you taking the steps every day to where I'm going? Because if you think where I'm at now, what it's been 12 years since I've been in track, it didn't just happen in one day. Like that's 12 years of every day doing what you have to do to improve. And now I'm at this spot. And then I think like, I do these like thought experiments. So I'm 26. I go, all right, if I got this far from 20 to 26, imagine how far I'm going to get from 26 to 32. And then I just look at that progression from 20 to 26. And then I'm like, all right, 26 to 32 can be a massive amount of progression as well. Just happens that when I'm 32, it'll be the 2028 Olympic Games. So like, that's what I'm telling myself now. I may not be near that, but I'm going to go for that. And I'm not going to have that fear of failure of putting myself out there. And then like, I could fail completely, but most people won't even go out and do it because they're afraid to fail. And that's like something I want to show the young ones in the track is like, they don't teach you about after high school and after college. It's like, you just have to stick in the game. The longer you stick in, you're going to improve. It's a developmental sport. Some people are just wildly talented. Like Knighton ran 1949. Like I'm sure he worked very hard, but he's also just born. He was running 1949 at 18. I mean, he's gifted. That's like that's God's gift to him. Like he might be the world's fastest man too, you know? But his process is different than my process. Everyone's process is entirely different. But if you stick in and you have this deep belief in yourself and you work every day, you can amount to anything or reach, at least tap into your highest potential, which is what you kind of have to do.
Yeah, like you have to have those goals and things that you're shooting for, you're aspiring for. And if you don't want to have them, too low that you trip over them, and you don't want to have them so high that, you know, it's unobtainable. Like if I were to say, yeah, by next week, I am going to be the number one podcast in the entire world. That's not a goal. That's just not realistic. But if I was like, you know what, I want to be able to finish this podcast, you know, just be able to finish it. Be like, well, that's not a goal. You're going to trip over that. So it's like, you got to find a way that, you know, it's something that you're still reaching for, but you have to have it to begin with. Like if you don't, you're just kind of doing things. You're just going to be in this cycle and this loop of stuff.
Yeah. Well, the key is to have daily goals. And then it's called personal victories. So it's basically a personal victory could be, all right, I did 20 minutes of meditation today. Check. And when you do that and you make promises to yourself and then you do it, that just builds momentum within you. You're confident in yourself because you're doing what you said you were going to do. And you just, every day, you build momentum to whatever you're, and if you don't do what you said you're going to do, well, you're subconsciously now going down and you're battling to get yourself. And discipline is like true freedom because you're doing what you have to do. That's freedom, is discipline.
Have you read or listened to the audiobook for David Goggins' You Can't Hurt Me?
I haven't, but I've listened to him like random YouTube videos. You just type in Goggins. He has like 30-minute like highlight videos. It's just like of him talking. Sometimes it hypes you up and it gets you in this mind frame of like, what am I doing? Like I gotta go harder, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, I read his book last summer and it was like I have to listen to like the audiobook because it was like, I was like, okay, if I'm not running while I'm listening to this, like, I'm going to feel like a loser. Like this dude's talking about like breaking shins and still running. And it's like, but it's like those creating your goals and creating those things, that shows like you need to have that discipline of, doing this every day. Cause if you don't, then you don't have that freedom. Cause like this, this being on a regimen is what, helps you keep going.
Exactly.
And so, this year, this past year, by the time we're recording this, you recently finished up in USA's, got seventh at USA's. What was it like, finishing and realizing, I'm a top seven in the nation at something. Not a lot of people can say that. Yeah. A very few amount of people can say that, actually.
Yeah, that was an interesting meet because I PR'd in a lot of things, and I also did really bad in a couple things. And overall, I was like almost 300 points under my PR from last year in the decathlon. So I may have got my highest finishing at a USA outdoor meet, but it was kind of like, damn, you're like, because it's a personal thing. It's like, you want a PR overall in the decathlon. It's like you versus the scoreboard. And like, I didn't, yes, it's early May, so maybe I'm not there 100%, but also it kind of just, it was bittersweet. You know, it was like, all right, I did some major marks like that I've always wanted to do. I broke 50 for the first time. I broke 14 in the hurdles for the first time. I almost broke 11 for the first time, but I ran 11.00. So it's like, that would have been epic if I got the trifecta. Like, I don't know anyone who's done all those for the first time ever in one meet. But but you just reflect on that and you go, all right, I did really bad in long jump and shot put. I'm going to work on these events. So the next opportunity I get, I'm going to ball out in those events. And it's just like every year you learn more and more about the decathlon and the event as a whole. It's like, all right, now that I'm a lot faster, my throws are kind of lower. Why is that? Well, you didn't do as much strength training. So it's, and it also, I didn't have a coach there, so it's like very difficult to like, it is, it's very difficult to do a decathlon without a coach. Like, I had it one at the trials, I had one when I broke 8K for the first time. So, I mean, I'm not using that as an excuse, but it's definitely like something that can aid you into doing a lot better.
Yeah, it's another obstacle. Yeah.
But I really like that meet because the top three did amazing. And you just learn from them. Like, they really, like, put it all together. You could just see, and the energy that they put into each event is just like, all right, that's what I got to do. Because when you're in training, you're kind of alone or you're with your group. Not saying my group is, like, bad, but they're not doing the marks at the top three are doing. And you see what they're doing, and you're like, all right, how do I unleash that or unlock that within me to like put that energy towards the discus or the pole vault? And then you go back to training and you're like, this, I'm going to get after it this session and like kind of model the best. Like if you watch 100 meter dash on TV, it's nothing like in person. Like I'm sure you've experienced that.
Yeah.
It's mind blowing how fast these people are running in person. So you kind of have to, like when I was at Division III, I don't think I've ever been to the decathlon where someone scored over 7,000. So I would never got a taste of like what it looked like to like do something really high level. So when you go to these meets, you see these high level athletes and you're like, I got to model that, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know if I answered your question or where I'm going with this, but like, it was a fun meet. And it's just the beginning of this year. I got Thorpe Cup later. And I guess I'll say it now, I got invited to GATSIS, which is like the biggest decathlon in the world. I mean, every decathlete knows about that meet. It's like the most legendary decathlon. So it actually works out well. 3 weeks after USA's. So I just tuned some things up and I'm ready to go.
There we go. You got a lot of stuff coming up. And it's like, of course, you want to perform your best at the biggest meets. Like, who doesn't? But, you know, being able to see like, hey, these individual, you know, competitions, I did very well. And so, hey, I know I can do better at shot. I know I can do better at long. But the stuff that maybe I had some trouble with went well. So it's like taking the wins with the losses.
Yes, sir.
And before we transition a little bit, we saw at the trials when you did had your, you know, perform really well, you had the mullet. The mullet is now gone. Can we see the mullet? You actually accidentally sent me I remember we were texting. You accidentally sent me a picture of you post mullet. So I'm wondering, will we see the return of the mullet for any of this year, next year, or as you may grow the hair back out, or is it gone forever?
So the mullet, if the people want in 2024, I will do it. It's a lot of work. Like I started growing that out like in September. And then when you train with long hair, man, it's difficult. But it was definitely fun, and it increases power by like 10%. The mullet is like the best.
There we go. So you heard it here. We're gonna, by 2024, we'll tune back in. We'll do another episode in late 2023 and seeing, all right, how many likes, how many follows, whatever do we need to do to get the mullet back? All right.
Yeah, well, yeah, that'd be fun. I'll do something like that.
Yeah, we'll mark it on the calendar. Awesome. And so now I wanted to transition a little bit off of track. Like you had mentioned, you got a lot of, you know, a lot of followers, hundreds of thousands of followers, millions of likes over TikTok. Like, what got you started in the social media game and wanting to, you know, expand your brand here off the track a little bit?
Yeah, so after, it was last May, I broke 8,000 for the first time. And I reached out to, because, all right, there's no loss in asking. But no, with nothing to lose and everything to gain, you might as well do it. So I emailed every single agent on the USAKF list just to like say, hey, I just broke AK. I'm number, I think at the time it was like 5 in the USA. We're going to the trials. Do you want to be my agent? Or like, can you help me out like with something? Basically, they all said, look, you're a decathlete. There's no way you're going to get a sponsor from anything. So I was like kind of pissed, but then someone put it in a good way, like, don't take it personal. It's like, you only compete 3 or 4 times a year. If you're not the best in the world, like, it's very hard to get a sponsor. But so I'm like, all right, if no one's going to help me out, I'm going to have to do it myself. So, I always heard people talking about like TikTok, like, you know, start like gaining a lot of traction. And so I just started posting videos last summer. And I think my first video luckily got like 80,000 views, and I got a lot of followers right away because it's easy to do that kind of. So then I was like, all right, that was like a blessing because like it worked right away. I'm just going to keep uploading. So I just started uploading shit of like training and just like, I eat a lot. So I noticed people like to watch people eating. Like it's just because everyone eats. So like everyone's going to get that on their page. So I just started like, and I'm this decathlete eating all this food. They're like, how is he this fit eating all this food? You know, like if I was like obese, no offense to obese people eating food, it wouldn't be as impressive. So I think that's why it got like the shock factor. And then, so I just started, it just started working. I'm like, all right, this is kind of cool. And I did put a lot of work into it. I mean, to just like think of ideas, edit, upload it, respond to all the comments. Going lives. If you go on live, you could randomly get 500 people on the live, you know, and that just brings more, it's just a funnel to the account. So, and then like I got emails like, hey, if you use a sound for your video, we'll give you $100. And then it'd be like, oh, we'll send you this product, you post a video, we'll give you $100. And then it started like going like way more than that. I got emails bombarded of like people wanting to work with me and collab and like do, I guess you could call them brand deals. And like, so I was like, all right, this is kind of cool. Like, I don't have a job, I'm not working, but this is like an asset. I'll always get emails and people always want to work me and pay me to do videos. So it's like, and then this fall I went ham on uploading shit, but it was tough because after the trials, I hurt my Achilles really bad and I couldn't train. Really, I couldn't train until like January. Like I was out for a while. So I was like this decathlete, but I couldn't post training videos. So I had to think of like these other ideas of like the fitness space. Because there's so much people that just work out or go to the gym or just like wellness people. So you kind of got to like, and track is in that niche a little bit because we're all fit people, we run, we take care of ourselves. So I did that, and then I just randomly posted a CPD thing. It was like I was at Wegmans and like the calorie per dollar of this like chicken parm was so bad, and I was just like, CPD of this sucks, and it just like blew up. And then I just like, it's a good idea. because you do what works. If one like way you do a video works, we'll keep trying it out, test it out. It's all experiments. It was all experiments at first. I was just like, oh, let's see if this works. Oh, it doesn't work. You know, most people won't even go and try. And that's the sad thing. You got to go and try. So whenever something worked, I just kept pushing the same shit out because it just like, then the next one did better and the next one did better. And that, because you got to give what the people want. And then in January, I started training. So I was like, I want to make track videos because that's what I care about. I don't care about all this other stuff. I just want to train and post track shit. So then I just started like posting my training, and then it wasn't doing as well, but I was like, I don't care. I want to keep posting it. And then like I started posting the Chipotle stuff because I was eating that anyway. Might as well make content out of it. And I just bombarded it. And like that was getting hundreds of thousands, millions of views on a lot of them. And then I randomly, someone gave me this email to like, they slid me this email like, yo, email this Chipotle and see what happens. I emailed them. Then I got a bunch of Zoom calls with them. We talked. And then they're like, what would your dream be? And I was like, let's put this on the app. We see the engagement levels. Like, this is going to blow up. This is going to be killer. Because I would literally say, guys, comment on Chipotle's post saying we want the Flood Bowl. And they would get 2,000 comments. Like, that's the power that I had. And it's just like, damn, I did this in like six months, like time. Imagine, remember the 26 to 32? Yeah. So it's like, where am I going to be in 2024 where now I have this like foundation this year of this like social media following, but it's going to be even bigger in 2024 during Olympic year. There's more sponsors out and I have this like the thing that's going to take me to like get sponsors is social media. And you could kind of say, well, I'm seventh in the nation. You know, that's not like,
it's just some credibility though.
Like yeah, it's credibility. It's not like to the masses, they go, holy shit, he's seventh in the nation. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But to like in the track community, you're probably like, well, dude, you're whatever. It's only 7,700, you know? Well, this year it was. I plan on being way higher in a couple of years, but yeah, you know, so, and then I met Mr. Beast. The way I met Mr. Beast was I got a DM from him and it was like, yo, we should make a QPD review video. And I was like, fuck, Mr. Beast just, sorry for cursing, he just DM'd me? What is going on? Like, I like this, like, this TikTok shit because I could see the opportunities that can come. You know, I'm a track athlete, but now I'm like doing videos with Mr. Beast. It's like, so he lives in Greenville, North Carolina. It's like an hour and a half drive. So I drove over there, met him. They were doing this like promotion for this, like, because he owns Mr. Beast Burgers. They were promoting Shrek Quesadilla. So I reviewed that, like hung out with them after. We talked a lot. And I was like, man, I tried to do track YouTube. Because he is, like, we're focused on track, like, dialed in. We don't know anything else. He only cares about YouTube. So, like, in his Joe Rogan episode, he didn't even know what South Park is. Because he's so tuned into, like, YouTube.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, man, I tried the track thing on YouTube. But no one cares about track. Like, well, decathlon, at least. Like, it's hard. He's like, well, because the way his mind works is, like, the more creative a video is, the more chances it can go viral. He's like, just word something, like, pretty ridiculous in the video and get the hook and like people are gonna watch it. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense. He's like, or just like race Usain Bolt, that get a lot of views. He's like, or run across the country. Like, these are the type of ideas he spins off of, like, that he knows will go viral. So then like the next week I say, I'm gonna post a video like his idea. I'm gonna say, I'm about to run, there's 7 billion people in the world, I'm about to run 99.9% faster than everyone in the world.
Yeah.
Which is true, but obviously I'm slow to like the top sprinters, but I'm
0.1%. Yeah.
Yeah. So like you wore it in a way and then like boom, 2.7 million views in like a day. I was like, holy shit, this stuff works. So then I started wording like, I'm gonna hurdle over this hurdle that's like as tall as a fourth grader. It's like something you just worded, and that got like 300,000 views. And then I'm like, oh, I'm gonna jump over a bar that's the size of a door frame. And I got like a couple. So like the way you get people like interested in track is you kind of have to make it somewhat entertaining or word in a way that makes it like people want to watch it. Like another video I made was, I'm gonna run half a mile faster than 99.9% of the population. People go, oh, what? He's running faster than 99. And like, obviously I ran like a 2:19 or something, which is slow, but like, that's still faster than like the world, like a lot of the world, you know, like to the track people, it seems silly, but the track people are already in the track community. You got to attract the masses of the people who don't know about track. Because think about it. If you're a swimmer, besides Michael Phelps, let's say you're NCAA champion, like you're a pro. In the swim world, people know you, but I don't know you. Like, to be honest, I don't know any swimmers. So it's like, same for track. Like, if you're not really involved in the track, no one really knows you. So you have to like in my case, do track stuff, but make it where people want to see it and know you for that, you know, or your social media presence through whatever you do, whatever you're good at, you know? Yeah. So that's just stuff I'm learning. I guess I'm just spitting out.
Yeah, you want to like reach a wider audience. So you have to realize what's important to them. Like you just say like, this is going to be me running, an 11.5 in the 100 four times. Like, okay, no one cares. Like, but if you say, me running faster than, it's like, I'm going to run faster than everyone in the state of, you know, New York, like whatever, I live in New York. I need to know, you know, you're fast. Like, so if you say stuff like that, it's like, now it's intriguing. Or, hey, I'm going to pole vault over a two-story building. It's like, you know, things like that. That's what gets, you know, gets people interesting. I mean, that's gotta be, what was it like, you know, just being able to, you're chatting it up with the biggest YouTuber in the entire world right now. I mean, a cool experience.
Yeah, it was wild because that week, like Monday, the Joe Rogan podcast of him came out and I knew I was going to see him that weekend. So I'm like, holy shit. Like what are the chances? Like, I just know when you work really hard and you just put good stuff out there, you're going to attract opportunity. Like, luck favors people who work hard. It's like, yes, it was probably luck. They saw it and they reached out to me. But also, if I didn't do much, or I said, yeah, I'm going to start posting on TikTok, but I did once every 3 weeks, that would have never happened. But no, I posted every single day from like July till March. Every single day I posted. Like, there's not one day I didn't. Like, you have to be consistent. Every day, and then opportunities will show up. So
consistency definitely has got to be a big thing, whether it's, you know, posting to your TikToks every day, posting YouTube videos, training, or, you know, making sure you're getting ready for work or school or whatever it is. It's like, if you're consistent, like, that's going to be how you can eventually break out and then do those things that it is that you want to do in the near future there.
Yeah, you can't just stop because a week's not going good. Like, you just got to keep going and going and going. And if it's not working, well, you got to change something up then. You know, you don't want, if you notice it's not working, that, because, like, for example, my YouTube, I have it took me like so long to get 1,000 subscribers, but I also don't upload it ever. So it's like, what you expect? You know, I'm not going to get upset or mad over it. But, yeah, and it's hard work. I mean, if you're training all the time, like, if I didn't have my girlfriend filming me, then none of this would have happened, because she's filming and helping me out. But she also understands what it's bringing and what it can bring, because whenever you do something, you have to find evidence of how big and how good it can get. Some evidence I have of like where this can take me is, I got a Chipotle deal. I got to work with Mr. Beast. I got to work with Bulletproof. I have this supplement yoked. I have supplement companies reaching out to me all the time. And it's like, that's helping me continuously invest in myself to make better videos, to train, to travel, and do all these things. And like, it's not about the money. Like, money is just freedom to do what you want to do. And something I learned about Mr. Beast is like, he may make a couple million from the video, but he puts all that money back into making another video to make it bigger and bigger and better. He doesn't just like settle, oh, I made this much, I'm done. Most people do that. Most people get success and they're like, oh, I'm good. It's like, no. And you can't get complacent, you know? And you, it's called a success barrier. It's when you see a certain amount of success and then you create a barrier because you think you're good. But what I noticed in myself was, ever since I started training more for the decathlon, not really indoor training, it's very tough to like, because I haven't been posting as much on TikTok, I'll say, for the last month, because I don't really care about it right now. I care about peaking in the decathlon, doing my best in the decathlon. When you're training for 10 events and you also have to recover and sleep good, you don't want to be on your phone a lot. So it's like, when I'm done training and it's like July, I'm done with Thorpe. Well, now I know I have more time and I could put more energy into social media and do way more work. So it's almost like you gotta set these things up, because there's a time to really go hard into that, you know? So that's what I see. It's like, okay, it's okay if it's down for now, because I'll get it back up when I need to.
Yeah, there's cycles to things. Like,
exactly.
When for me here, like, yeah, when the season's off and it's, you know, it's what, September, August until like December, it's like, yeah, the numbers aren't going to be there, because
yeah,
who cares about track and field in October? Like, not a lot of people. Like, it's just, yeah, not, it's not a thing. So then for you, like you mentioned, like, hey, you want to continue building and, you know, you want to improve upon yourself. Like, what's the next step? Like, what's the next goals for you, like, that you're looking at, whether that's on the track or off the track? I mean, we've mentioned Mr. Beast a few times. Could we see you on a Mr. Yeah. Beast video coming up here soon? I mean, what?
So technically I was on one, but yeah, it wasn't like, it was like for Mr. Beast 2.0, but it's interesting because they have my number and they're like, yeah, we play basketball a lot if you want to play. Like, so they might invite me to play basketball one time. I think that would be cool, and just to get to know them better. But my next goals are really to, like, I want to break AK again at Gotsis right now. I'm really focused on that. And I'm leaving Sunday, so I'll have almost a week in a different time zone to adapt. And that's another thing, because you travel and you're, like, I did a really good job at USC Indoors of making content and editing and competing well. It's like, I kind of want to do that again in Austria, because it's like, this is good content, you know, and I want to compete well. And then Thorpe Cup, we got to beat the Germans, like, as a multi, as a group. And I want to do very well. I want to PR basically in the decathlon, because, like, it's May. You're supposed to constantly progress. You know, you don't want to decline. And because I didn't get the fall training, I started my season late, like training in January. It's like, usually by July, you're kind of like, not burnt out, but like really damaged.
You've been a lot.
I'm just going up right now, you know? And then I want to rest, rejuvenate. And I really like to make quality videos. Like, even if they don't do well, I just want to start really going ham and like better editing and just better quality video, whether I get a new camera or I get a mic now to make where it sounds better, or because the Mr. Beast thing was so official. Like, when we made that video, he just has like a team of people. He just goes, yo, we need the light. They have this guy with like a light just to like make the lighting better. Yeah, they have like the mics ready. Like, they're just on it. They operate differently. And I want to get to the point where I just like operate differently. Maybe I have a team of people to where it's like, we just go around, train, get really good at the decathlon, and like make badass content. Like, that'd be cool. Honestly, this is like this point in my career. I think it's just starting because it's like, I didn't really have a career. It's like, but now it's like, all right, you know what you're doing for the next 6 years. So let's maximize what you're doing in these next 6 years.
Yeah, this is like the peak of what you got. So it's like, hey,
yeah, this is it.
You're not going to be 26 again. So let's make sure we're doing everything we can, because when you're 40 and you're not going to be competing in the decathlon, maybe. I mean, you never.
Yeah, I want to look back on that when I'm 40. Yeah. Be like, look at this shit I made. I'll show my kids, like, here's what we did, you know?
Exactly. You want to talk to them, make sure they're getting the proper CPD and they're maximizing. How did you come up with CPD, QPD? I mean, and could you share like what that means for people that might not have seen your videos and the team behind you?
So the CPD is calorie per dollar. So like, because we're decathletes, we train so hard, you kind of just eat everything. Like, it's one of those events where you can get away with eating like, I don't know, McDonald's, Taco Bell, Chipotle, I think is healthy in my mind. Like, there's nothing really bad with that. But like, if I need the extra calories, I'm going to have like ice cream. That's just what I'm going to do. And so it was always ironic, like I said, when I was creating those videos in July of like this super fit person eating all this crazy stuff, because people in the comments are like, dude, you can't out train a bad diet. It's like, dude, I'm doing it. Like, and now that I'm getting older, I could see how nutrition will play a factor. So I might be switching it to a more healthy side, because when it does come down to the Olympics and there is like everything matters, like everything you do, then I'll probably switch it up to like, you know what I'm saying? The calorie per dollar is just fun. It was entertaining. I did the team. I'm the team. Like, it's not, it was just like funny. So I just I put the spooky music in the background, and it was just like a fun time. So, and then people were commenting like different equations. Someone said QPD. So I was like, I'm going to just start using that. So I started using that, and that was like a funny thing to do too. And I've realized it really hit the high school and college like demographic. Like every high schooler in Raleigh knows me. Not everyone, but like everywhere I go, people are like, holy shit, you're the CPD guy. Like, they don't even know me for track. They just know me for the CPD. It's just funny. So that's what it is, if you're wondering. All track athletes, I feel like, eat a lot. Like, distance runners have to be eating a lot. They're running crazy mileage. Like, they're definitely eating like crazy. And like, really, the CPD came about my senior year of high school, because like the way we trained was like, we lifted a lot of weights. Like, we love to just like bench and like bicep curl and stuff like that. We were like gym bros. So like, we're like, we need the gains, we need the calories. And then like, I just made that into a video and it did well, like I said. So I just kept rolling with it.
There you go. And to close it out there, what are some of the foods that have the best CPD for people to
say? You got to get peanut butter and whole milk. So like, and that's another thing. When I was in like college in between summers, you don't have a lot of money. You need the calories because you're working out. So you can't like to get Chipotle back in the day, that was like hard for me to do because I couldn't afford it. So I'd have to eat PB&J's. Like, that was like the staple, that and whole milk. And like, cause you got the sufficient calories, but it was cheap, you know? So those are like the top two. Chipotle's up there. I'm a big fan of the Quarter Pounder from McDonald's. Like, they have like buy one, get one free. So it's always like, it's just always there, you know? And it's like, I'm very in tune with my body. So if I don't have enough, I could tell if I'm like undernourished. So in that case, I would go out and get that Quarter Pounder. Cause it's better to get that in to not get it in. If you see what I'm saying, it's better to eat than to not. Than to like miss out on the gains, if you want to call it.
You got to find the calories. So you heard it here. If you need some extra calories, get some whole milk, get some peanut butter, peanut PB&Js, all that. Maximize your CPD, get the gains and all of that. Yeah. You're going to be good to go. You train like a beast also.
Yeah, that's how you get this.
Awesome. Well, Jack, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to do this. You know, where can people go if they want to follow more of you on social media and everything like that?
Yeah, guys, just follow me on Instagram, Jack Flood, and TikTok, Jack Flood. We might be starting a podcast soon because It's like this. You should do this too. You just post clips of your podcast on TikTok because if you say something that like people resonate with, it can blow up and get 100,000 views just like that. So I kind of want to do something like that because you see people. Do you know what impulsive is?
Oh yeah.
I always see that on my For You page of just like clips of them saying something, right? It's like, well, why don't I make a podcast, say some badass shit, and then like clip it out of like 10-second clip of something cool and just post it, you know, and it can just blow up. And that's another way to attract people to the main thing, you know? Yeah. So
yeah, I need to start getting on my, luckily I've got the account, so no one can take
it. Oh, nice.
I got it. So we're good. I posted a few clips, but not like very consistently. So I'm trying to add some more things in and, you know, hopefully expand the team as
well. Are you a one man team?
I have another guy that helps out with some distance running stuff. He just got started.
Yeah.
Most of the content I do on my own, but we're trying to add some things and find ways to, you know, distribute. Yeah,
well, you're doing a great job. And then, and like I said, you're consistent. You could be anywhere you want, you know, and like, you got the passion for it and you're working hard and you just so attract the right people. That's just how it works, I think. So it's so, Colin, I appreciate you bringing me on this.
Yeah, of course, man. Thank you so much. And then thank you to everyone for listening. This has been another episode of Track World News. If you want more content, go and follow us over on Instagram at Track World News. You can also go on YouTube as well. We post highlights, news clips, opinion pieces, all that type of stuff. So go over and check us out. That's going to do it for us here. Have a good one. Peace.